Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And good Saturday morning to you, and good luck to the contestants in this morning's 91st annual, 91 years and still going very strong, the Alabama Deep Sea Rodeo taking place on Dauphin Island. We'll peek in on the leaderboard and give you some of the highlights as that rodeo goes on. Today is the midday, and we'll wrap up tomorrow over there at Dauphin Island. We also have a national champion to congratulate this morning. That's right, Louisiana's fourth shooting team. This is the 4-H shooting team. This will be their fourth national championship in 5 years. And if you're one of many freshwater anglers who enjoy fishing the Atchafalaya Basin, and I know there are thousands of you that do, if you're concerned about its future, there's going to be a meeting coming up this week, and you can voice your opinion and concerns and talk with the representatives of the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries to tell you where and when that'll take place. Also, we have the latest red snapper count, and we'll take a look at the Coastal Conservation Association, that star tournament leaderboard, give you some of the highlights there. You know, last week, if you were tuned in, a listener asked about what I know and think about bow fishing, saltwater bow fishing in Louisiana. This morning, I'm going to talk about what the facts are and what the fiction is. I'll be tuned in for that. And for those of you who follow our Bad Boys of the Outdoors story, well, today we have another bogus charter fishing captain. We'll tell you his alleged crime and the possible penalties he's facing if convicted. And if you happen to have a successful, or an unsuccessful for that matter, because it helps to talk about those two places to stay away from, fishing trip this week, we would like to include it, along with your comments, your questions, and your reports with the reports from our professional captains. You can do that by texting your message real-time to the studio, 504-260-1870. That's, again, it's 504-260-1870. If you're headed out and you've been out, well, you kind of know we've kind of got into a rut this week as far as the weather. Pop-up showers, some can be intense in little small areas. Some people get no rain. Just got to be careful when you're on the water if you should encounter one of those. Otherwise, you're looking at offshore conditions, 8 to 15 knot winds this morning out of the southwest, 1 to 2 foot seas. And right now we're looking at some pretty level seas, which is good for the offshore fishermen. On the interior lakes and bays, southwest winds 6 to 12 knots. Average tide range rocking and rolling, 1.8. Got a lot of water moving out there. Our Mississippi River stage holding steady at 6 foot. We'll be keeping an eye on that. Rain chances, yeah. You know, it's hard for a meteorologist to predict, but they give you a 60% and a 70% tomorrow, 60 today. Just watch out for pop-up storms because you may encounter those. And as a matter of fact, I was looking at some a little earlier this morning, and They had a pretty good little storm passed across the tip of the boot down there around Buras and Port Sulphur, and we'll talk to Captain Ryan Lambert and not only get some fishing information but also some up-to-the-minute weather reports for you. We got all that coming up. We got a lot of great lineup of our fishing reporters. We'll be talking to Robbie Campbell when we come back after this break from Shell Beach. We also have Kirk Stancil from Hackberry Rod and Gun going to talk to us about the fishing in southwest Louisiana. Daryl Carpenter's down in Grand Isle. Mike Gallo over there, he's born on the bayou on Lake Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne area. Eric Mohabarak with the Paddler's Report. And, of course, Ryan Lambert, our plastic man, will be here with us. So a lot to talk about. Glad you decided to spend part of your Saturday morning as you head for your trip to the great outdoors. We do this each and every Saturday morning. In fact, next Saturday, the 27th, will be the 35th anniversary of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Where did the time go? Back with the show right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, the radar has just taken a pleasant turn. A lot of the stuff is cleared up for the time being. I'm sure there's going to be storms moving in across the coast and along the Gulf. But right now, most of our listening area, except for some areas in extreme southwest Louisiana and way out beyond Black Bay and Chandelier Island, south of Dauphin Island. There's a little bit of a storm out there, nothing real serious. Otherwise, looks pretty clear. Let's talk to Robbie Campo at Shell Beach and find out what he's dealing with. Robbie, the weather's been certainly a factor this week. You know, some people getting rained on, others not. You just got to, bide your time and keep your eye on the horizon. And when those storms, you see them, run from them and duck and dodge, you know, play a little tag with them. How's the fishing been?
You know, Don, other than the weather, the fishing has been excellent. You couldn't ask for a better trout bite than we've been having around here. I'm telling you, we've been seeing a lot of trout coming in to the table. Everybody, you know, a lot of smiles on their faces. Everybody seems to be pretty happy with it. But you do have to keep your eyes open out there, and you have to dodge some storms. That is one of the key things out there right now is, you know, these pop up showers that come. It's typical summertime weather. We got a downpour here yesterday, I guess midday or 2 o'clock-ish or whatever. And I tell you, Don, it must have dumped 3 inches of rain here in just a little bitty while. So, you know, these little cells pack a powerful punch. They got a lot of wind in them, so be very careful when you're out there. But I tell you, Don, you know, we're starting to see some fish being caught on the west side over toward Iron Banks, where we haven't seen fish being caught over that way in quite some time. Which is good to see. So that means our river stages has got to be coming down if you're catching fish at Iron Banks. And now there are some pick throughs in them, but there's pick throughs in them everywhere. So, but it's a lot of action. Red fishing has slowed down, but they did catch a few redfish yesterday on Proctor Point. So you have that to go do if you want to go red fishing today, if that's what you want to do. But as far as the trout bite goes, can't ask for a better one than we've been having in the last 2.5 weeks here. It's just been spectacular.
Yeah, we got a good tide range. How's the bait situation? I know the shrimp have been running a little small, which is typical for this time of year.
Well, we are in full transition mode from brown shrimp to white shrimp. So, but our bait situation is, for the most part, numbers. We're good. Our tanks are full, so we have plenty on hand. you know, and every bait catcher, every bait shop is kind of experiencing the same thing. We're all going through, you know, and people are complaining, and it happens every year, Don. There's nothing that we can do about it. It just takes a couple weeks for these shrimp to get, you know, we get up in that 70, 80, 60, 70 range. But they're small. I mean, you know, they got small ones in them. There's nothing that we could do about it. You know, one day you're a hero, the next day you're zero. You know, you got nice bait one day. So that's the gist of it. Ain't no getting around it. You know what I mean? So,
Robbie, when they're small, you put two of them on the hook. Just double
exactly
up on
right.
Them. That's it.
You know, so, I mean, no, you know, I know people are upset with it, but look, there's nothing that we could do about it. You know, it's just the way it is, and I wish things could change. You know, and I wish they were all you know, that 70-count shrimp, because that's the 60, 70-count shrimp. That's the perfect bait. But unfortunately, that's just not the way it is. So, I mean, you got to take what God gives you and just be happy with that.
Absolutely. Well, so far it's been a good summer. Let's hope it continues. Robbie, thanks for the report as always, and we'll talk with you next week.
Don, I heard from Wingbone yesterday. He said my call will be here Monday. So I wanted to mention that, and thanks to him again for making me one. So, I'll talk to you next Saturday.
Hey, how's it getting to you?
He's mailing it.
Oh, okay, because I was headed over that way next week.
He packaged it, and he said, I'm going to mail it to you. So I said, okay, I'll be looking for it Monday. I'll be looking for it to come in the mail.
Well, take a picture of it and post it on your Facebook page. The guy does some great work.
I will do that. I promise you.
All right, yep, Robbie.
I will do that.
Thank you,
buddy. Okay, talk to you later, Don. All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, he's talking about our buddy Wingbone over there in Wilmer, Alabama. Makes turkey calls out of wing bones, old school style. He's made me one, and that's one of my bucket list items, to kill a wild turkey using that wing bone call. All right, want to update you on the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo going on right now. Boy, this is a big one. It's the second oldest in the country, right behind the Grand Isle Rodeo. I believe it is the largest rodeo with 4,000 fishermen. 75,000 people go there as spectators. There's 33 categories. It's held every year on Dauphin Island, sponsored by the Mobile, Alabama JCs. Looking at the leaderboard, and you can check their live leaderboard, Matthew Grimes has almost a 26-pound black drum for first place there. Let's see, we've got Derek Rogers, came in with a 432-pound bull shark. If he holds on to first place through tomorrow, that'll be worth $6,000. Nathan Vaughn has a 120.8-pound yellowfin tuna. That's another great fish. And you can see these fish on display if you head on down to the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Over $450,000 in cash and prizes. They got live weigh-ins. They've got all kind of Calcuttas and certain categories that you can pick up and enter and earn a lot of money. It's a great event. A lot of people go there, and they've been celebrating it for 91 years, Alabama Deep Sea Rodeo. Next week, the oldest rodeo, the Grand Isle. They call it the granddaddy of them all. That's at the Grand Isle, at the down on the end of the island there, Grand Isle Marina, July 25th, 26th, and 27th. And then at the same time, Faux Pas goes on in Venice, Louisiana. A lot of fishing activity going to be taking place offshore, inshore. Lots of different categories in both of those events. All right, we come back after this. Going to give you the update on the red snapper count. And also we'll talk a little bit about bow fishing, what it is and what it ain't. Stick around. We're back right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, you know, the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries keeps real close tabs, as close as you can within a couple of weeks, on the harvest, the catch of the red snapper in Louisiana, the landings. And based on that, that determines when the season will be closed. In real-time landings, that's why you get the ROLP, the Recreational Offshore Landing Permit. That allows, through your reporting and the reporting of recreational charter captains, the number of fish that are landed. We are assigned this year almost 1 million pounds, 934,587 pounds of red snapper. We have caught 607,581, which represents about 65% of the total, and they will continue. Now remember, we're off the 7-day a week fishing schedule. That's how it started. Now it's back to 3-day weekends, so Friday, Saturdays, and Sunday. Red snapper's open, and having it reduced to 3 days a week will certainly reduce the catch rate. But what that will do, the good thing, it extends the season later into the year. I'm thinking probably October, maybe, depending on the weather and how the bite goes. But that's where we stand now on red snapper. Last week, we had a text message that came in wanting to know about bow fishing and the impact on red fishing for saltwater bow fishing. And I'll tell you what my experience is. I do it a couple times a year. It's a lot of fun. It's not easy. It's much easier to catch a redfish on a shrimp under a cork than it is to hit it with an arrow, let me tell you. And a lot of people have a misconception about the lights in the fish's eyes freezes it, and it's like shooting a deer in the headlight. That's not true. A lot of times it's a moving target. the phenomenon known as refraction, which distorts the image that you see when you're looking at it through water, causes you to have to shoot below the fish. Now, just how many inches or what angle below the fish depends on the distance, depends on the water depth, and if the fish is moving, it's very, very hard to do. It's not easy at all. But anyway, that being said, a lot of fingers were pointed and have been at bow fishing, particularly the charter captains who do it, about over-harvesting the redfish. It caused the redfish limits to be changed, that they were the prime candidate for that. Well, here's what the facts show. You know, now the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, if you bow fish, you are required to have a permit. This is going to give them an idea of how many people are doing it, how many fish are being taken, because up to this point, they really had no data. Well, since this was instituted, where the bow fishing, it's a free permit, you get it just like you get your offshore permit, there's been 731 permits, 43 to charter captains and 688 to private. All right, now let's compare how many people are out there bow fishing to people with rods and reels. The best I can get, and I can't get a real hard, accurate number from Wildlife and Fisheries, and I don't know, they should have it, but the best I can get is somewhere in the neighborhood of 600,000 saltwater anglers with rods and reels. That's combined with the license sales, people who are exempt, lifetime license holder, kids, anybody under the age, they still fishing, they get a limit, but they don't have to have a license. So if you're looking at 600,000 versus 731. Let's just assume that everybody goes out one time and they have a great day. They catch their four fish limit of redfish. The rod and reel anglers would catch 2.4 million redfish. Now, how many would be shot with bows and arrows if everybody that has a permit went out that same day and they got their four fish too? 2,752. You're looking at almost 1,000 times more harvest from rod and reel. So when you take into consideration, they say, well, yeah, well, if you shoot a redfish and it's undersized, you can't release it. Well, there's a lot of gut-hooked redfish. The gills are torn. People mishandling them, releasing them. So all that goes into effect. But you're talking about a minuscule number of fish being taken by bow fishing as compared to rod and reel anglers. Now, if there's more accurate or updated data that shows that there's a whole lot more people doing it, I don't believe that bow fishermen are any more successful than rod and reel. I think the rod and reel fishermen will outdo the bow fishermen as far as the take. But the numbers, they don't lie, and that's what you're looking at. 2,752 compared to 2.4 million redfish. Now, some negatives on bow fishing. I understand people who have duck leases and hunt in areas where there's also fishing going on. I don't think there'd be a problem in banning bow fishing during the duck season. I think whoever the landowner is, or if it's a management area, they can institute a temporary ban for the 60-day season on ducks. Because if you're running an airboat at night, you're certainly going to disturb roosting ducks, and they ain't going to be there in the morning. As far as the redfish problem, I think they might want to turn more scrutiny to the menhaden, the pokey boat industry. If anybody is over-harvesting, especially the breeding stock, it's going to be the menhaden industry. And I don't know that if enough research and data accumulation has been done to see the impact on that. Anyway, that's what I've got. If you've got something more definitive on how many fish are being taken by bow fishermen, I'd like to hear from you. All right, we'll be right back after this. Going to talk about the Louisiana 4-H shooting sports team. Phenomenal bunch of guys and girls. We'll be back with that, some more fishing reports, stuff you and I love to talk about. We do it each and every Saturday morning right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Well, we'd like to ask you to help congratulate our Louisiana 4-H shooting sports team for winning the 4-H shooting sports national championship that was held in Grand Island, Nebraska earlier this month. This is the fourth national championship for the Louisiana team in the last 5 years. They won first place in two events, the air pistol and the small bore rifle. Second in two events, which was the hunting skills and compound archery. And third in two events, small bore pistol and that air rifle. We actually went out with them a couple of years ago when they won the national championship and did a Bayou Wild TV episode. So I invite you to tune that in. It involves archery, pistol, rifle, hunting skills. It's really a great program. And if you want to find out more about it, it's open up these clubs to any kids that are age 8 to 18, both male and female. And it's, again, they get to learn marksmanship, safe, responsible use of firearms. They learn a little bit about hunting and archery. And if you want to look up more information, go to the number 4-HShootingSports.org. That's 4-HShootingSports.org. And again, congratulations to the Louisiana team. We can certainly be proud of them. All right, we'll be right back, and I'm going to hit some of the highlights of the CCA Star Tournament, which is in full swing, goes until Labor Day, and also we'll get to your text messages at 504-260-1870. But first, we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, checking on our text message board. Let's see. Let's get back to early this morning, earlier, that is. The Lafayette Yacker, our buddy, a regular listener, he's over in sunny, hot California listening to us. No boudin, no biscuits, no coffee. Boy, you're in trouble, huh? Yacker. Anyway, he's says happy anniversary. Well, that's a little week ahead of time, but I think we'll make it. 35th anniversary show coming up next year. And thanks to the Lafayette Yacker, he's stranded out there in hot California. All right, we've got, Captain Ross L. said he didn't do much fishing this week, but he's running down to the camp in Dulac to give it a shot. Weather not looking good, but you can't catch fish sitting on the couch. Yeah, well, it's only water as long as you stay away from the lightning. Just watch for those storms if you're headed out on the water. All right, we got old man Sam. He is producing some Pappy James Chunky Junk Salsa in Hammond. Hammond's going to be burning up today. Main ingredient, homegrown Creole tomatoes. Yum, yum. Have a bite for me, old man Sam. All right, we have the Steel Man. He checks in from Madisonville. He went looking for reds around Point Lahash last Sunday. He found nice water, but no redfish. He says he's going to get back after all the rain. So that's from our buddy, the Steel Man. All right, we got, Wingbone says you either get rain or hot weather in Wilmer, Alabama. And a question on the bow fishing. It says, can you bow hunt? I'm assuming it says bow fishing is what he means. While you're diving, I've never shot a regular bow underwater, so I don't know what the accuracy and the efficiency and the distance to kill a fish would be with a regular bow, but I don't think it'd be illegal. It might be considered spear fishing if you do it underwater. I'm not sure about that. All right, we have this one from our buddy Captain Rob, and he says, your take on the bow fishing was spot on, especially closing during the duck season. Yeah, I'm thinking that probably would be a good idea, but I think it would have to be done upon request, and certain areas could be off limits for bow fishing during the open duck season. All right, if you fish the Atchafalaya Basin, and I know thousands and thousands of you do, it's one of the great freshwater fishing treasures we have. Some people are concerned about the future of the fish, and there's going to be a public meeting this Tuesday, and it will be at the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries headquarters office. That's on Quail Drive in Baton Rouge. Biologists are going to be there. They're going to present current and past data talking about the fishing trends in the basin. They're going to have an emphasis on bass and also the crappie populations. A lot of you know that as Sakale. They're going to include bass stocking, restocking in the basin, the regulations, do they need to be changed, size or creel, and they'll give a description of their pilot tournament information project that's going to be implemented. So you'll be invited to ask questions or express concerns. I do not know if this is going to be Zoomed. I would suggest you check on that. Otherwise, it's going to be strictly in person. And that's going to be at 6 o'clock Tuesday in the Joe Herring Room, they call it, in the Wildlife and Fisheries Building on Quail Drive in Baton Rouge. All right, sneak preview, Bayou Wild TV. What are you going to be looking at this week? Well, it'll be one of our trips to the Cajun Invasion. Boy, those are some great trips we did. This one's the Alaska Kenai Peninsula Salmon. I went out on a float plane to do some salmon fishing and then also showed how they, at least the residents of Alaska, are allowed to dip net salmon. And we've got sockeye salmon on the smoker, a little cooking recipe done by our co-host, Martha Spencer. So tune us in, Bayou Wild TV. If you don't know where we air, check it out on our webpage, bayouwildtv.com. And you can watch all the back episodes. You can find us there on YouTube. Check it out. And then next week, we'll continue with the Cajun Invasion features. We'll be fishing out of Seward for halibut and rockfish and giving you a gorgeous look at the Kenai Fjords National Park Glacier and a marine wildlife tour. And I'll be doing my coconut lime panko rockfish. Whew, that's a good one. I wish I had some rockfish, but not many of them on the Gulf Coast. You got to go to Alaska or up north or west coast to get them. All right, we come back after this. We're going to head a little bit west. We're going to talk to Captain Kirk Stansel. He's over at Hackberry Rod and Gun. We're back with his report and more right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
And let's bring in Captain Kirk Stansel, Hackberry Rod and Gun, and find out what the latest is over there in the southwest Louisiana area. Captain Kirk, how's things going over there? You guys have been getting some rough weather.
We've been dodging thunderstorms, you know. In fact, man, it was nice when I got over here to the lodge this morning, and everything was, you know, you could see some lightning off out in the Gulf, and then right here before we're fixing to depart, there's storms starting to roll in. That's been the MO the last week. It's just, you know, dodging thunderstorms.
Yep, that's all part of it. How's the trout bite been?
It was really good last weekend. And starting about the middle of the week with these storms and stuff, it's just not real good. I mean, it's been okay, but not real good. I mean, last weekend it was on fire. Everybody was catching limits. But this week, and we had that light north wind over the weekend and the beachfront where we were catching the fish. The lake on the inside, it's been a grind.
You know, Kirk, the founder of Hackberry Rod and Gun, Terry Shaughnessy, used to say his slogan was, "You should have been here yesterday." Maybe we need to change that. You should have been here last weekend.
Yeah, I guess so. That's right, yeah. Old Terry, you know, we lost him here about almost 2 years ago to the day. And,
he was quite, I don't make him like that anymore. That mold got broke,
right,
huh?
That guy was something.
How about some other type fish, maybe some sheep's head or some flounder and redfish?
Flounder and redfish been hard to come by. There's a lot of sheep head. I have one captain that really goes out and targets them, whenever the bite's slow and everything else. And he's been doing real well on sheep head, just finding rocks, you know, like the jetties or in the lake or along the ship channel, someplace where there's rocks, and he's catching the sheep head.
I tell you, that to me is the most underutilized, unappreciated saltwater fish that swims in the waters. I mean, it's a great eating fish. They fight like hell. They're easy to find. There's no limit on size or creel. They're a little bit of a problem to clean, but once you get the hang of it and you learn how to deal around those bones and stuff, and hey, a lot of people just do them like a redfish and put them on the grill. They're great fish, but you know, I guess that name and those big teeth just doesn't do it justice.
You're right. You know, and forever down here, we have all been just spoiled with plenty of speckled trout and redfish. And it's getting to where, you know, when times are tough, you know, you try to find something, you know, to pull somebody's line.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I don't throw them away. I'll certainly keep them, especially the bigger ones. Matter of fact, I'm looking, and, man, they had one caught over 8 pounds brought into the Star Tournament. That's a pretty big sheep head.
That's a stud there. That is a good one.
That's like an 8.5-pound bluegill.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, that big wide body, they can get it sideways on you, and they can tug.
Yes, indeed. Well, anything else we need to know if folks are headed out there? How do they get in touch with you guys and find out about availability? You know, we're getting pretty close to that teal season. It's kind of sneaking up on us, and people might want to get their bait set.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times, you know, by now, you know, late July, August, we get these fronts that get close to us, we'll start seeing a few teal come through. And, you know, that's September 14th, it opens. And, yeah, we got room for blasting cast. So you can call here, I mean, from out of the area. It's a toll-free number. It's 888-762-3391.
All right, and if they didn't get that number, they can go to your website or they can go to mine. You got a live camera there on the cleaning dock. And I noticed you've been doing a little bit of reports there lately. They got you doing some updates on Facebook.
Well, Yeah, I'm doing some of that stuff on Tuesdays. We call it the Tuesday evening report. So I kind of do that on Tuesdays.
I'm going to be tuned in for sure. Well, Kirk, right. Thanks for the report, the update. We always appreciate it. Always look forward to talking to you and even look forward more to going down there and getting with you.
All right. Well, it's always a pleasure when you're here, Don.
All right. Thank you, Kirk.
You bet. Thank you. Have a good one.
There he goes, Captain Kirk Stansel, Hackberry Rod and Gun. Check him out. He's also on my website. If you go to DonTheOutdoorsGuide.com, you can check it out there. All right, let's see. We got some more texts coming in. We got a good morning from a listener in Ohio. I think I know who that is. The Bayou Boy was wondering if there's any word on a comeback yet for the bass in the Lafitte area. I haven't got a bass report for Lafitte. I've had some pretty good bass trips. We used to fish with Captain Tofield Bourgeois, and he knew some of the little freshwater bayous underneath the cypress trees, and we'd catch quite a few bass, and sometimes they're mixed in with the redfish, depending on the water salinity. But if anybody's been fishing bass in Lafitte and they want to share a report, you're welcome to do it. You can send that report to us at 504-260-1870. Hearing from our duck hunting buddy, Roland Cortez. He's headed to Lake Arthur to judge the United States Waterfowl World Calling Contest. Any callers out there, you can come out and compete or watch if you're in the area. It's going to be, where exactly, Roland? Text us back and let us know. I know it's Lake Arthur, but where specifically is the place? All right, 504-260-1870. That's our text line, and we're going to take a quick three-minute pause, and we come back. Daryl Carpenter is going to join us from Grand Isle. Been a great season down there on the island. I think it's going to continue so far. And only thing down there, they've also been plagued with some of those storms during the middle of the week. We'll find out what the weekend looks like after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, the site of the Grand Isle International Tarpon Rodeo is going to be Grand Isle next week. It will be, sometimes you wonder whether the island's going to sink from all the spectators and anglers that'll be there. And if you're going down there fishing next week, well, here's some tips from a guy named Captain Daryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. He's with us each and every Saturday morning. Daryl, how long we've been doing these reports?
Don, let's see. I've been doing this 21 years, so I guess me and you've been together 17, 18?
I was thinking around 20 years, close to it, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, you know, time flies when you're having fun, huh?
Yeah, it's my 21st year of guiding, so yeah, I wasn't around too long before we connected.
Yeah. Well, what's been going on this week besides thunderstorms popping up almost daily?
Well, I mean, Don, you got to move around them. You got to run from them and kind of sometimes plan your trip. But, you know, plan your trip around them. But the good thing is the fish have been accommodating pretty much anywhere you go. In fact, earlier this week, one of my trips, I was kind of glad a storm went away because I was being hard-headed and say, no, I know these fish are going to bite. I know these fish are going to bite. And a storm drove me off, and I'd be darned as soon as we dropped trolling motors. Like, damn, I wish I'd have been here at the beginning of this because now we're about through.
Yeah.
So it made us move and find a better bite. There's been fish everywhere, a lot of places. You get in that deeper water stuff, and you fish more to the bottom, and you're catching a little bit better size fish. A lot of the places you go, you're having to weed through a lot of throwbacks. And, you know, you and I have talked many times over the years that when speckled trout are schooling, a lot of times if they're 12-inch fish, they're all going to be 12-inch fish. Well, this year hasn't been the norm. You'll catch 4 or 5 12-inch fish, and next thing you know, here comes a 19, 20-inch. Those fish are moving around, and, you know, when you were having some of those phone difficulties, I texted you one of those reports that I think some of these larger fish have done their spawning and it's starting to kind of move back in a little bit, and I think that's what's starting to happen. We're seeing some really good fish on the interior oyster reefs and the interior, you know, the points and stuff that we like to fish. We're seeing some really good females, some larger females starting to gang back up on it. Now, maybe they're just moving around in between spawns, but there's certainly a lot of them still coming back to the inside. The ladyfish have shown up, so if you're fishing live bait, bring plenty. And what's really showed up and what's been driving us crazy tackle-wise is the daggum sharks. The sharks have shown up. You've heard complaints for years about them offshore. They're getting just about as bad inshore. You'd be reeling a trout in, next thing you know, you got a he turns into a really big fish for a few seconds, and then all you get back is a head. So, yeah, the sharks are definitely becoming a problem inshore.
Yeah, well, the sharks don't abide by the new regulations either. Huh? They'll take under a 13-inch trout if they can get it.
And they'll take over a 22.
Yeah, they will. They certainly will. Well, yeah, they've been problematic. The offshore fishermen have been dealing with it. Now it's the inshore fishermen, too. Darryl, where would you say has been the better action? Has it been to the east towards Lafitte, to the west towards Fouchon? Or are you sticking pretty close to home right there around the island?
Well, a little bit of both. A little bit of sticking close to home. And if I had to pick east or west, the west side started out a real bumpy year this year. They had, don't know where it was coming from, maybe some of those projects going on over there, but they had a lot of muddy, muddy water to the west. Fishing was very unpredictable to the point that you'd look up and it's like, I know him, he's from Leeville. What's he doing here? So they were running all the way almost to Port Sulphur from Leeville to find fish. So I would say the east has been better, but there's been a whole lot of trips where I never got out of sight of Grand Isle. In fact, this morning's going to probably be one of those because we're going to kind of watch for thunderstorms. You know, the problem is, well, like last week we ran all the way to the east. I ended up, and solely because thunderstorms and lightning was chasing me that way, I guess it was 2 weeks ago. Remember, we talked about having to hide on rigs and stuff because when we ran out of places to run, it's like, guys, we just got to hide and wait it out. But there's a whole lot of fish right here close to the island, and a whole lot of birds have been working. We're getting some shrimp starting to move back in. The bait situation is a little bit tight if you're looking for shrimps. It's either you got little bitty ones or you got those 12-inch long shrimp, which is what I've got mostly. But, I mean, you haven't really needed it. I mean, the plastic is just wearing out these fish because they're hungry and they're looking for anything that moves.
Darryl, I know you don't do a lot of it anymore, but you do talk to people that do. How's the snapper fishing been for the mangroves and the red snapper off the island?
Last week was a little bit tough. The reports that I was getting from the folks that went out there, anywhere close to Grand Isle was a little bit tough. It, I don't know, maybe we had a little dead zone move in or something like that, because I was getting reports that places where they normally are catching 16, 18, 20-pound snapper, they were dropping down and wasn't able to lose a bait. It took some running around more to the west. That's one where one of the captains I was talking to who does that recreationally and, you know, just trying to pick my brain, like I told him, whenever we ran into that kind of a problem when I was offshore fishing, the story was go west, young man, go west. Get further away from that river, and you're probably going to find fish that don't have as much pressure and better water quality. So, you know, it's been up and down. It's been up and down, but I suspect that won't last long. They'll be back.
All right, it's realscreamers.com, or you can go to my site, and you'll find Darryl's website there. You can link to it, and if you like, you can give him a call. Darryl, what is the best time to call a fishing guy to get information? You guys are up very early. You're getting customers out. You're coming back. You're cleaning fish. When would you suggest somebody call if they're going to call a captain?
Would probably be after lunch, sometime around the 2 o'clock time frame, 2 o'clock until about 8 o'clock. The only ones that really get me, and sometimes I don't answer, is the ones that call at 9:30 in August, and you know, and I'm like, nah, man, I've been asleep for an hour. I'm not answering this phone.
Yeah, leave me a message, and you can call them back. What's that phone number, Darryl?
Yeah, 225-937-6288. And, yeah, like I said, the big thing is, look, during our busy season, there's a many a days we don't get to see the sun go down.
Got it. Well, hope you get some fish. We'll talk to you next week, and we'll be back with hour number two right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Man, welcome back in for hour number two. Got some more great fishing reporters coming up. We'll be checking in with Captain Mike Gallo, Eric Mahabarak with your paddler's report, and Ryan Lambert down near the tip of the boot. We'll be talking to all those guys, getting the latest fishing information from their areas and some tips to help you find the fish. We also take your text messages, your personal reports, your comments, your questions, 504-260-1870. We are in the CCA Star Rodeo. We're in the middle of it, and it's getting hot and heavy out there. Some of the highlights I was looking at on the leaderboard, kayak, and a lot of kayak participation in the Star. John Nahar's got a 3.88. He waded in over there at Campos Marina. He's currently the first placeholder. On the bank fishing, David Constant, 5.22. That's a nice, beautiful trout. He waded in at the Bridgeside Marina. And Gerald Peterson is the leader in the red snapper category, 25.06. Big lemon fish, Samuel Lofton, 64.65. That was weighed in at Gulfway Sporting Goods. I think I know where he caught that fish based on where he weighed it in, and I think that'll probably hold up. Sheephead, 8.24. We were talking about sheephead earlier with Captain Kirk. Kevin Bordelon's the leader there. And in the ladies only, Ashley Lindsay has a 4.53. She waded in over at Spicer Hughes Marina and Motel. And, of course, we've had three redfish that were tagged, caught by registered anglers who will be claiming their prizes. All right, checking on our text message board, Roland Cortez, professional duck hunting and goose hunting guide. He's going to Lake Arthur. There's going to be a U.S. Waterfowl World Calling Contest. And he texted back. He said it's going to be at the community center in Lake Arthur and gets underway at 9 o'clock this morning. So if you want to compete or hear some really good calling styles and talk with some of the real pros, you might want to stop over there. All right, we got the backstrap stacker checking in from Alabama. He says he got lots of rain for the Alabama Deep Sea Rodeo, but today's looking better, and wishing luck to all the fishermen out there on the water. All right, it's Kevin in Violet. He says, give us the numbers comparing charter captains, bow fishing, and pole fishing. Problem with bow fishing, the marsh never sleeps. That's Kevin in Violet. Well, the numbers that I got, and this is so far, now legally to bow fish, you have to have a permit. It's free, issued by Wildlife and Fishery. Been a total of 731 permits, 43 charter boats, 688 private. And I was figuring if, now, you know, the individuals on the charter boat don't have to have it. So there's going to be some more people because the charter typically might have two, three, four, maybe six people on there. And the charter boat accounts for the reporting. But if we took the total number of permits and you said everyone got a limit of redfish, that would be 2,752 fish. Compare that to the rod and reel fishermen. There's almost 600,000 anglers out there in saltwater fishing in Louisiana waters. If they all caught a four-fish limit, you're looking at 2.4 million redfish compared to 2,752. And you've got to add a few. But, I mean, still, the number is just so far away as how many fish are being caught and kept and some having to be released by the the sports, the rod and reel anglers, that it's not even close. But again, I would think prohibiting bow fishing in duck hunting areas during duck season, I think that's in order. And, again, we'll get to know more about this as those permits are issued and the reporting comes in. And that will determine whether something needs to be adjusted, lowering limits or times or number of permits. But the way it looks right now, there's just so many more people with rods and reels, and it's so much more an efficient way to catch fish. I don't think it's of concern to a threat to the resource at all. That's my opinion. All right, we come back after this. We're going to be talking to some more of our field reporters. Mike Gallo is up next. He's got a report on Lake Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne, North Biloxi Marsh. It's all coming up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Bourne on the Bayou guy is Captain Mike Gallo. His reports are brought to you each week by CETO. Some people call them, they call them the, what is that company that comes out when you have problems? I bet you know. Anyway, what they do is if you've got a fuel problem, you run out of gas and maybe your tank was off and you need somebody to come out and bring you some, they'll do that. They'll jump start you if you got an electrical problem, or they'll just hook you up and tow you in from wherever to wherever you need to go 24/7. They're standing by. And if you want to get a policy and get on a membership, it's done on an annual basis and it's renewable. Call Captain Chris. He will sign you up in a heartbeat. It's 504-301-4545, $249 for an entire year. Again, it's 504-301-4545, or you can do it online. Just sign up at CETO.com. Let's talk to Captain Mike and get a fishing report on his neck of the woods. Mike, you've been dodging storms all week?
Well, that's a fact. We have been dodging storms. That's just part of fishing in the summertime in Louisiana. You have those storms that pop up relatively quickly, move relatively quickly, and sometimes they're headed straight for you and you have to move.
Well, I spent the week cleaning out a 30 by 50 barn full of junk and putting it into a 30-foot dumpster in 110-degree closed-in barn. And believe me, on those rainy days, I welcomed it. Sometimes it's a welcome. It drops that temperature sometimes as much as 20 degrees. And, other than lightning, you really don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, there's been occasions where, you want to find a storm that doesn't have any lightning because you want to go get rained on and cool off. So you just don't have much wind out there. It's really hot. So I understand completely how the rainstorms can cool you off.
Well, Mike, where have you been fishing and what have you guys been catching?
Been mainly targeting trout. There's trout in the deeper passes right here in the local area, Wrigley's Pass, Unknown Pass, some of those deeper passes. Moving water's a key. Live bait is certainly a plus. Fortunately, the local marinas have good supply of nice live shrimp. And they do vary with the time of the month. Sometimes they're small, sometimes they're large. It doesn't really change whether or not the fish eats it. If it's a larger shrimp, you may need to be a little more patient and let that fish, fully eat it before you set the hook and miss him. But there's fish in the area. Lake Bourne's got fish on some of the man-made reefs. And even further east, the few trips that I made were out on the edge of the Biloxi Marsh. It seems like there's hundreds of oyster leases out in those areas, and you can just drift across an oyster lease. A popping cork is a great way to find these fish. You cover so much territory. You can fish it with either live bait or the artificials have been working just as well. I like the light-colored baits this time of year, the Matrix Shad in glow color or the Berkeley Gulp in white. Both of those mimic a pogie or a shrimp pretty well. And a lot of small fish, wow, a tremendous amount of small fish. Earlier in the week, I think we were catching 10 to 12 fish before one was a keeper. And the keepers would be in the 13.5-inch range and probably 3/4 of the 10 to 12 you caught would be over 12 inches but under 13 inches. So a little frustrating because you just remember not long ago those were keeper fish and almost cut the duration of your trip down by two-thirds because there's fish there. It's just we're throwing back the majority of them.
Yeah. Well, everybody's got to remember, try to take as good a care of those fish as you can when you do release them. Mike, you had a seminar, a little presentation last week. How did that go? And when people come out to your presentations, what is the most common thing they ask?
Yeah, the seminar was nice. We had a fairly large crowd. Ron Harris with CC always does a good job reaching out to people and getting them, to know in far advance that we're going to do a seminar. We had a couple other captains, as well as a recreational angler that spoke. It was a good time. Lots of good information was shared. That's a good question, Don. I often like to ask the crowd questions because I never, you want to educate the crowd, but you don't know each individual person's level of fishing expertise. Some person may ask a simple question as to what's the favorite knot you use, and other people might ask questions about water temperature or salinity. So you never know what you want to talk about or how, what species you want to talk about. Usually this time of year, everybody's pursuing trout. So I usually give a relatively short presentation, 5, maybe 10 minutes, and then ask the crowd questions. One of the things I was talking about is ways to figure out when you're in water, that's the right salinity to catch speckled trout. So obviously, if you see diving birds and shrimp jumping, there's a chance there's speckled trout forcing those shrimp to the surface. Before I see birds, when I slow down, I'm really scanning the water to see if I can see jellyfish. And if I see jellyfish, then I know I'm in high enough salinity for there to be speckled trout, and then those birds could have speckled trout, at least the ones I want to catch.
Yeah. See, those are the kind of great little tips that people can pick up when they go to your seminars. Well, next week we're going to talk to you captains about revisiting spots. So be thinking about that, about going to a spot, nothing there, going somewhere else. How often will you go back to that spot, and how successful could that be? Mike, thanks for the report. If people want to get you, you're on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Mike's site is AAofLA.com. And that telephone number, Mike, if they want to give you a call.
My number's simple, 985-781-7811.
All right, Mike, watch out for the storms. Have a great day, and we'll check in with you next week.
Sounds good, Don. We'll talk to you then.
All right, and when we come back, Eric Mohabarak joins us for you kayakers and paddlers with his report next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
And for those of you who paddle or stroke for your fish out of a paddle craft, we have a special report brought to you by Massey's. Captain Eric Mohabarak joins us, and he hangs out at Massey's a lot. What's been going on over at Massey's, Eric?
Good morning, Don. How y'all doing this morning? Hope everybody's having a great day. Massey's has got it rolling over there, man. They got some Jackson kayaks with 30% off. They got you got to call if you want some Hobies about inventory and stuff like that. And pricing. They also have an awesome deal going on two demo boats. Hobie 360 Pro Anglers, they're going for $3,000 a piece. Those boats usually sell for about $6,000, so that's a really good deal. Those boats are about a year old. It does have some scratches, but great stuff, you know. Also, they just restocked the Yak Attack supplies. They got some bigger carts for bigger kayaks that they just came out with new. I think they showed that at ICAST. What else? The club and Massey's, Bayou Coast and Massey's are together on this fish picks thing. And right now, they just ended a quarter of it. And it looks like Breck Hotard is in the winning position with 106 inches. And that's a slam, including a bass. You know, speckled trout, redfish, flounder, and a bass, the most inches win at the end of the year. So that's what's been going on over at Massey's in the club a little bit. The club's got the Redfish Rumble coming up in August, and also the kayakers have Ride the Bull, as we all know. That's a famous one.
Demo day, August 3rd.
Yeah, demo day, August 3rd. I almost forgot to tell everybody about that. Yeah, but that's, you know, that's right there at Bayou St. John, 1700 Moss Street at the Deutsches House. It's really nice. They got a clean bathroom there also for the ladies. And come out and try out your kayak. You know, anyone you want, or you got a specific model, just call one of the stores and they'll arrange it to have it out there for you. And it's free, you know. You just got to sign a waiver, wear a life preserver, and get out and try your kayak.
Have three locations: Covington, New Orleans, and Mid-City, and also one in Baton Rouge. All right, far as the fishing, Pensacola, somebody out there found some tarpon?
Yeah, our friend Brandon Barton with Emerald Coast Kayak Charters, he's bought a new drone, and, you know, that's the time of year they start showing up, the tarpon. And, you know, me and a few friends of mine that you know, Chris, and them are kind of crazy about this tarpon fishing, so we'll head over there to Pensacola and try and catch us one. It's been a while since I landed one, but I'm ready to get back over there for sure and hang out. And, you know, the beach and the water's always pretty, and those big silver fish jumping out in front of you, just unbelievable when them gills start riding them.
I've always said that's the most exciting fish I've ever caught was a 150-pound tarpon. Incredible fish, and certainly great if you can get them from a kayak. That's even better. Eric, as far as the flounder over there on the Mississippi coast, our spot and other spots doing well?
Darren, it seems as if that pretty much all the way to the Gulfport, Biloxi area, I don't know what's past there, but reports from Waveland and Bay St. Louis and stuff have been phenomenal out there for flounder fishing. I was over there the other day, and I seen a guy fishing a bank. He had seven. You know, and that's off the bank. He was doing great. So, you know, and I've been seeing a lot of reports of people gigging them. You know, our friend the Weave's been going out there and getting them as much as he possibly can with his retired self. And, you know, I'm jealous. it's unbelievable. It's easy fishing, Don. You did it. They can look at our episode 145 and get an idea on how it works and what to do with that, you know, of Bayou Wild.
Well, we got to go do it again. How about along the Louisiana coast? What's some of the hot spots for redfish and maybe some drum?
Yeah, well, down, of course, Highway 1, the guys are tearing it up down there with the kayaks, you know. Reggio's been doing good with some legal redfish. You know, water's been kind of clear, you know, besides when the wind blows and then gets that storm up. But with the grass and stuff over there, it keeps it kind of clean. Highway 23, like they said earlier, those guys are heading up to Port Salfa area fishing. They're catching some great fish, some trout, some reds, some flounder. Can't complain about that. And also, I got a good report from the Trestles, and it's they catching. It wasn't limits, but they caught a nice mixed bag of fish. You know, they had a handful of trout, a couple redfish, some puppy drum, which he had to weed through the puppy drum to get the legal size. But still, those little ones are tasty, and a couple flounder being picked up over there.
Yep, that's all that. I witnessed that a while back, and sounds like it's still going on, and that's not a long-distance paddle at all if you're going to be fishing there. Well, Eric, thanks so much for the report, my friend. Appreciate it as always. If somebody wants to charter you, you're one of the few people that does charter boat fishing from kayaks. You supply the kayaks, rods, reels, and the knowledge and expertise. Tell them how to find you.
Yeah, Don, just on your website, the Don Dubuque, the Outdoors Guy, or you can just you look on Facebook, the Louisiana Kayak Company, and also on Instagram, the Louisiana Kayak Company. Or the best way is just to text me or call me at 504-313-8292.
All right, Eric, sounds good, my friend. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, Don, you have a great day, man. Y'all have a good one.
All righty. Eric Mahabarak, one of our two field reporters. Brendan Bayard's the other one. You'll hear Brendan report next week. All right, we come back after this. It's Bad Boy of the Outdoors time. Yeah, we had a guy pretending he was a charter captain and allegedly was cited for taking people out snapper fishing. We got his story and some of your text messages coming in, too, at 504-260-1870. Right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Right, let's get back to the text message. The Worm checking in. He says we should find a way for all the regular texters and listeners for a meet and greet. Yeah, maybe we'll do that. Well, we've done that in the past, and we'll try to find a central location and have you guys and girls come on out. Love to meet some of those folks that we hear through our text messages each week. All right, here's a question. Don, in your opinion, what Louisiana politician is considered to be a lover of the great outdoors? I'd have to think about that. Just off the top of my head, I would say Representative Joe Ogeron. He's the one that wrote the bills dealing with the pogey boat problem, the Menhaden industry, and he was very concerned about it. I'm sure there's others that I'm just not thinking of, but if you know of a Louisiana elected official that is a lover of the great outdoors, text me. Who would that be? 504-260-1870. When we get time before we go off there, I'm going to tell you about the 43rd National Veterans Wheelchair Games. They need some help finding some people, boat captains, to come and take veterans bass fishing. We'll give you some more information on that. I got a question. The best time of year to catch redfish from the beach in Grand Isle? That's from Bo Louie in Destrehan. Absolute best time to catch big redfish right there in Caminata Pass, maybe Elmer's Island. That's going to be in September. But right now, all summer long, you're going to catch redfish off the beach. But I would say September is obviously late August would be the peak. And let's see, we got another one coming in. We'll get to this one later. But let me first take this quick 10-second station pause and come back with the bad boy of the outdoors right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents Lieutenant Gerald Sander, Agent Clinton Willis, and Agent Ernest Reynolds were on patrol July 7th about 9 o'clock at night when they encountered a vessel in Caminata Bay near Grand Isle. When the agents stopped the boat for a license and creel check, they discovered that Hall Clark was the captain and that the boat was a charter vessel returning from the Gulf of Mexico with paid clients on board. Upon further review, the agents also learned that Clark did not possess a charter boat captain license or a charter recreational offshore landing permit. Cited for failing to possess the charter boat captain license and the recreational offshore landing permit, and facing, if convicted, a maximum $1,000 fine and up to 120 days in jail, is 33-year-old Hall Clark of Metairie, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Oh, man, come on, Hall. You know, the fishing guides have made it a really great industry here in Louisiana, but you just got to do it right. Get your paperwork, get your insurance, your license, and, of course, not having that ROL that it hurts the reporting numbers and accumulating data. Man, just do it right. All right, let's see. Got some more text coming in. This one says, good morning, Don. How do bow fishermen measure redfish before they shoot them? And what's the survivability rate of undersized reds returned after release? Bow fishing at night should be outlawed. You can't shoot deer at night, right? Well, that's true, but you can fish at night, and bow fishing is allowed. It's certainly more effective being able to see the fish. As far as how do you determine, well, you just kind of know. And if there's any doubt in your mind whether that redfish is legal size, you don't shoot. If, in fact, you should, now the survivability rate, I'm going to tell you, is very, very low. But if you look at the loss of undersized redfish that are caught and released and don't survive, I think the mortality rate, they say, is about 10%. So many more fish. The numbers are just so much more on the recreational rod and reel red fishermen than bow fishermen. All right, here's one. Says, enjoying the show looking at the oldest mountain in the world, the Appalachian Mountains, 4,500 feet up from a cabin where it's 59 degrees. Looking forward to a great fall back in Louisiana. Well, we're a long way from that. That's from a North buddy. And a question, is Hank Johnson, the boat doctor, still around? Yeah, he is. His son is pretty much running the business now, but Hank's still around over there. The boat doctor used to come on with us and take care of outboard motor problems. Probably the best in the business, and his son is carrying on the tradition, Andy. All right, we come back after this. We're going to talk to the plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's chat with the plastic man, also known as Ryan Lambert. He's a captain with the Cajun Fishing Adventures down in Burris, Louisiana. Boy, you guys had one heck of a storm pass through early this morning, about 2:30, 3 o'clock. Were you down there?
Oh, yeah.
Woke you up,
we've been having them
right
yesterday, too. I mean, every day we've been having them.
Yeah, you just got to deal with them this time of the year. Where you been going fishing?
Well, I've been on both sides this week. You know, I've limited out every single day. It's been really, really good. It's I was lucky to have my limit 3 days before the storm. You know, I could get around them because, you know, those are just pop-ups, so you could get around them. So I've been fortunate. So, you know, there's a lot of birds working on one side of the river. The other side, the fish are a little bigger, and, you know, it's a hard decision. But I don't really like fishing the birds, so I've been going after those bigger trout and having fun with the plastics. So I'm going to go in a little while and go after them again. And I think I'm going to try a big jerk bait today, kind of a suspended jerk bait, and see if, because a lot of these fish, you know, if you're down in that deeper water and you're coming up and you cut real, real slow, they hit it on the way up and as swimming it. So I'm going to try that jerk bait. You know, it's a deep dive and suspending jerk bait. So I think they'll hit it. So
might pull a big trout up on that one for sure.
Uh-huh. That's what I'm trying today. I got to experiment. But it's been really fun. It's been fun. You know, there's some bull reds here and there. And, you know, keeper reds, a lot of black drums. It's been a good week.
Ryan, I got a question in from a listener wanting to know. You know, we had our bad boy, and we've had several people who do charter fishing, and they don't get the licenses. And, of course, it's easy to catch them because, you know, the people from out of state want to buy the passenger license, and they get it. And then they say, well, this is a paid trip, and they don't have the proper licensing. Somebody wanted to know, what does it take to become a charter boat captain and get the license? I know you need to pass the test, and you have to have the proper insurance. What else do you need to become a charter captain?
Well, you got to have a personality, first of all. the first thing you have to do is go to the Coast Guard Captain School and get a captain's license.
Right.
Then after that, you know, you have to get your insurance, and then you go to the state and get your captain's license. So, you know, now you need a captain's license to duck hunt as well. So, yeah, it's not hard to do. It's, you know, you can go to these schools now, and in 1 week they teach you everything you need to know. And I think it costs probably about $1,500, and then I think the state license is $250. So it's gonna be a little bit of an investment, but it sure is more rewarding than looking over your shoulder every day and have your customers, you know, have that license and the game won't pull up and you look like,
yeah,
that's
pretty embarrassing. Thing. Yeah, I'd hate to be caught in that situation. People need to do it right.
Yeah, just the fact, just like an outlaw, you know, you got your stuff and you're looking over your shoulder. You always got that, you know. Why would you want that? You know, just go ahead and do it right. It's not that big a deal to get it done. You know, and then you get more business and you get other guides will use you and you'll be a part of a family of guides. And that's what's so important. You know, you got to have enough resources that if you break down or if, you know, we've got extra lower units, we can jump in another boat. We got extra troller boats because we have a family, you know, and that really helps the guide. It helps you as a guide because it's going alone and going at it like that is just not the way to do it.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, and, you know, you can remember. I go back as far as when you didn't need a guide license. There were very few guides.
Yeah.
You were probably one of the pioneers of the guide industry. I would think you were probably one of the first ones to begin guided trips.
Yeah, down here for sure. You know, they had offshore guides. But they didn't have inshore guides back then. You know, that's 47 years ago, so it's a long time. But it's been such a rewarding life for me. And, you know, in the first 10 years, we didn't need a license. I guess I've re-upped 7 times now, so that's 35 years. So about 10 years, we didn't need them. And now they're pushing it on the freshwater as well. So,
yeah,
you know, just go ahead and do it right. But, you know, it's is fun. It's, you know, and not only that, you know, we got 12 boats on the water. Somebody's going to get on the fish, and we work together. We don't leave anybody hanging. So, you know, everybody's going to catch fish, and that's so important. It's all about the customer. It's not about you. So, you know, just to do that and then have your customers lose their fish or something like that, you know, it's just not the way to do it.
Yeah, people don't realize that, you know, it's a hard job. It's not easy. It's a service job. You're dealing with personalities and inexperienced people, and it can be frustrating. It's long hours and under some tough conditions. But, you know, what you guys are really selling and providing is opportunity. I mean, how many people would never get to witness what goes on beyond those levees if it wasn't for you guys being able to take them out?
Yeah, it's an entertainment business. It's not a fishing or hunting business. It's strictly entertainment. You're there to entertain those people. And when the fish aren't biting, that's when you got to entertain the most. You know, I mean, it's easy to entertain when the fish are biting every cast. Yeah, you look like a hero. But when they're not biting, you better be on your A game. And don't lose it. Don't let them see you sweat. You know, it's you just got to keep that positive attitude. Let's hit another spot, man. They got to bite, you know. And just keep moving until you get on them. Well, some days fish don't bite. It don't matter what you do. Some days it happens to everybody. Yes, it does. And it's not fun when it does. You better have a good customer that has been with you a bunch of times on them days.
CajunFishingAdventures.com. Give them that telephone number where they can reach you, even out in the marsh.
504-559-5111. And it's time to get them dogs in shape, get them running, because September's right around the corner.
That's a good advice. Get them labs ready, man. Just be careful for those gators.
Oh, without a doubt, they're thick.
All right, buddy. We'll see you next week.
All right, partner.
All right, Captain Ryan Lambert. We call him the Plastic Man. All right, coming back after this, going to catch up on some of our text messages and also tell you about Christina Bordelon. She needs a little bit of help from fishermen to put together some trips for veterans. If you can help, I'll give you the way to do it. Right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, got a little freshwater report in from my buddy Blaine Salter. He's talking about he's going to be at that Tuesday meeting at Wildlife and Fisheries on the Atchafalaya Basin fishing. He thinks that limits may be a topic coming up. What he's going to be there and believes in and will present a presentation on why the size limit of 10 inches should be put in statewide on the Sockeye. He said it's worked in Mississippi and Texas. Atchafalaya Basin rivers are on the rise. He says they probably had two or three consistent weeks of very good catches across most of South Louisiana. The areas are affected by the river. Took a turn, a lot of pressure, like off lakes like Verrett and some of the surrounding areas around the basin. He said those areas are going to be pounded as Lake Verrett is producing consistent 10 to 20 fish per trip for anglers with more experience. And he says Old River Morganza was just getting primed. The rise has made it cool off. 3 weeks has some big fish caught for the last 3 weeks. Not the numbers, but the quality has been there. He fished with Glenn Davis last week. They only had 7, but they could have fed 10 people. He said it was the only one he landed. He sent a really good picture of it. He said that Tuesday he's going to be at that wildlife and fishery. They're going to be concerned more with the limits not being the issue for the fishermen, but size more so than quantity. So that's Blaine Salter's report. We appreciate getting his freshwater reports in. All right, I also have a text message from Texter. It looks like it's 5217 is the last one. You must be using Talk to Text because sometimes it just comes out where it just doesn't make any sense. Maybe you might want to resign that. All right, here's one says, good morning, Don. Remind the listeners, it's a good idea to ask for proof of licensing for any fishing or hunting guides. That's certainly a good idea. If you're going to be gone on a trip, make sure they can provide a license. Really, it's not insulting to ask for that. It's something that's very important. Here's one. Do the charter captains still get a discount on fuel at the marina? I don't know. I don't know if they ever did. And really, that's none of my business. If you're interested, I guess you could check with them and find out. Here's one who asked about Louisiana elected officials who are really concerned outdoorsmen. Dr. Mike Strain, our Commissioner of Agriculture. Yep, I can agree with that. Mike is a big outdoorsman as well as a very knowledgeable veterinarian and also agriculture commissioner. All right, I did want to get this before we get off. Christina Bordelon sent this in, and I know this is kind of short notice, but they have a one-day bass tournament for part of the National Veterans Wheelchair Games. And this is going to be held at the Bayou Sonnette State Park on the 23rd, which is Tuesday. And they'll be partner pairing up on Monday at the Hilton Riverside Hotel. If you consider yourself a boat captain, you do not need to be a licensed captain to do this. I'm just looking for people to take out fish. It's not a paid event. And this is to help disabled veterans. There's no award prize money going to be given, but there will be trophies given to the chance of a veteran receiving that. And if you want to get in on this and take a veteran's fishing, call Christina Bordelon, and I have her number here. Let me get to it just a second. And like you said, she said you can call her if I can find it. And let's see, where's Christina? Oh, here we go. 225-223-1086. That's 225-223-1086. Or there's also some email and contacts on a flyer. If you want to get a copy of that flyer, let me know, and I can send you some information via the text. We can't take pictures and flyers and things like that. It just doesn't work on our text, but you can always email it to me. And we can give you the email address if you need it. Just shoot me a text. Our text number is 504-260-1870. Here's another text that says, I read about an article yesterday about the nuisance that sharks have become for fishermen, especially game fishermen. Yeah, they are definitely problematic offshore, and we're seeing more and more of it inshore. There's a lot of sharks out there. And he says, darn that Peter Benchley. And, of course, Peter Benchley, the author of the book Jaws. And, you know, what happened with Jaws was they actually created some sympathy for sharks. And when the data was revealed, how long it takes for sharks to breed and reproduce. And so they put in some very, very tight regulations, which, I don't know, at these dates, the empirical evidence from people out there will tell you there are more sharks maybe than there's ever been out there. And they're predators just like we are. So they just have to be dealt with for now, but possibly they could relax some of the limits and open up some more commercial fishing for sharks, and certainly it's not a bad fish to eat. In fact, some of the schools serve shark to the kids when you process them. All right, that's about all we got for today. We're just about out of time. We're getting ready to sign off here. We'll be back again next week celebrating 35 years of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. We'll go back and tell you some of the things that were going on back in July of 1989, besides us kicking this show off called Outdoors with Don Dubuque. Thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Thanks to all our sponsors. Thanks to Cullen Steele back at the Mothership. And we'll see you again next week with another edition of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Let's get back to the text message. The Worm checking in. He says we should find a way for all the regular texters and listeners for a meet and greet. Yeah, maybe we'll do that. Well, we've done that in the past, and we'll try to find a central location and have you guys and girls come on out. Love to meet some of those folks that we hear through our text messages each week. All right, here's a question. Don, in your opinion, what Louisiana politician is considered to be a lover of the great outdoors? I'd have to think about that. Just off the top of my head, I would say Representative Joe Ogeron. He's the one that wrote the bills dealing with the pogey boat problem, the Menhaden industry, and he was very concerned about it. I'm sure there's others that I'm just not thinking of, but if you know of a Louisiana elected official that is a lover of the great outdoors, text me. Who would that be? 504-260-1870. We get time before we go off there. I'm going to tell you about the 43rd National Veterans Wheelchair Games. They need some help finding some people, boat captains, to come and take veterans bass fishing. We'll give you some more information on that. I got a question. The best time of year to catch redfish from the beach in Grand Isle? That's from Bo Louie in Destrehan. Absolute best time to catch big redfish right there in Caminata Pass, maybe Elmer's Island. That's going to be in September. But right now, all summer long, you're going to catch redfish off the beach. But I would say September is obviously late August would be the peak. And let's see, we got another one coming in. We'll get to this one later. But let me first take this quick 10-second station pause and come back with the bad boy of the outdoors right after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque radio network. Well, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents Lieutenant Gerald Sander, Agent Clinton Willis, and Agent Ernest Reynolds were on patrol July 7th, about 9 o'clock at night, when they encountered a vessel in Caminata Bay near Grand Isle. When the agents stopped the boat for a license and creel check, they discovered that Hall Clark was the captain and that the boat was a charter vessel returning from the Gulf of Mexico with paid clients on board. Upon further review, the agents also learned that Clark did not possess a charter boat captain license or a charter recreational offshore landing permit. Cited for failing to possess the charter boat captain license and the recreational offshore landing permit, and facing, if convicted, a maximum $1,000 fine and up to 120 days in jail, is 33-year-old Hall Clark of Metairie, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Oh, man, come on, Hall. You know, the fishing guides have made it a really great industry here in Louisiana, but you just got to do it right. Get your paperwork, get your insurance, your license, and, of course, not having that ROL that it hurts the reporting numbers and accumulating data. Man, just do it right. All right, let's see. Got some more text coming in. This one says, good morning, Don. How do bow fishermen measure redfish before they shoot them? And what's the survivability rate of undersized reds returned after release? Bow fishing at night should be outlawed. You can't shoot deer at night, right? Well, that's true, but you can fish at night, and bow fishing is allowed. It's certainly more effective being able to see the fish. As far as how do you determine, well, you just kind of know. And if there's any doubt in your mind whether that redfish is legal size, you don't shoot. If, in fact, you should, now the survivability rate, I'm going to tell you, is very, very low. But if you look at the loss of undersized redfish that are caught and released and don't survive, I think the mortality rate, they say, is about 10%. So many more fish. The numbers are just so much more on the recreational rod and reel red fishermen than bow fishermen. All right, here's one. Says, enjoying the show looking at the oldest mountain in the world, the Appalachian Mountains, 4,500 feet up from a cabin where it's 59 degrees. Looking forward to a great fall back in Louisiana. Well, we're a long way from that. That's from a north buddy. And a question, is Hank Johnson, the boat doctor, still around? Yeah, he is. His son is pretty much running the business now, but Hank's still around over there. The boat doctor used to come on with us and take care of outboard motor problems. Well, probably the best in the business, and his son is carrying on the tradition, Andy. All right, we come back after this. We're going to talk to the plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's chat with the plastic man, also known as Ryan Lambert. He's a captain with the Cajun Fishing Adventures down in Burris, Louisiana. Boy, you guys had one heck of a storm pass through early this morning, about 2:30, 3 o'clock. Were you down there?
Oh, yeah.
Woke you
up,
huh?
We've been having them yesterday, too. I mean, every day we've been having them.
Yeah, you just got to deal with them this time of the year. Where you been going fishing?
Well, I've been on both sides this week. You know, I've limited out every single day. It's been really, really good. It's I was lucky to have my limit 3 days before the storm. You know, I could get around them because, you know, those are just pop-ups, so you could get around them. So I've been fortunate. So, you know, there's a lot of birds working on one side of the river. The other side, the fish are a little bigger, and, you know, it's a hard decision. But I don't really like fishing the birds, so I've been going after those bigger trout and having fun with the plastics. So I'm going to go in a little while, go after them again. And I think I'm going to try a big jerkbait today, kind of a suspended jerkbait, and see if, because a lot of these fish, you know, if you're down in that deeper water and you're coming up and you cut real, real slow, they hit it on the way up and as swimming it. So I'm going to try that jerk bait. You know, it's a deep dive and suspending jerk bait. So I think they'll hit it. So
might pull a big trout up on that one for sure.
That's what I'm trying today. I got to experiment. But it's been really fun. It's been fun. You know, there's some bull reds here and there. And, you know, keeper reds, a lot of black drums. It's been a good week.
Ryan, I got a question in from a listener wanting to know. You know, we had a bad boy, and we've had several people who do charter fishing, and they don't get the licenses. And, of course, it's easy to catch them because, you know, the people from out of state want to buy the passenger license, and they get it. And then they say, well, this is a paid trip, and they don't have the proper licensing. Somebody wanted to know, what does it take to become a charter boat captain and get the license? I know you need to pass the test, and you have to have the proper insurance. What else do you need to become a charter captain?
Well, you got to have a personality, first of all. the first thing you have to do is go to the Coast Guard Captain School and get a captain's license.
Right.
Then after that, you know, you have to get your insurance, and then you go to the state and get your captain's license. So, you know, now you need a captain's license to duck hunt as well. So, yeah, it's not hard to do. It's, you know, you can go to these schools now, and in 1 week they teach you everything you need to know. And I think it costs probably about $1,500, and then I think the state license is $250. So it's gonna be a little bit of an investment, but it sure is more rewarding than looking over your shoulder every day and have your customers, you know, have that license and the game won't pull up and you look like,
yeah, that's pretty embarrassing. Thing. Yeah, I'd hate to be caught in that situation. People need to do it right.
Yeah, just the fact, just like an outlaw, you know, you got your stuff and you're looking over your shoulder. You always got that, you know, why would you want that? You know, just go ahead and do it right. It's not that big a deal to get it done. You know, and then you get more business and you get other guides will use you and you'll be a part of a family of guides. And that's what's so important. You know, you got to have enough resources that if you break down or if, you know, we've got extra lower units, we can jump in another boat. We got extra trolling motors because we have a family, you know, and that really helps the guide. It helps you as a guide because it's going alone and going at it like that is just not the way to do it.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, and, you know, you can remember. I go back as far as when you didn't need guide license. There were very few guides.
Yeah.
You were probably one of the pioneers of the guide industry. I would think you were probably one of the first ones to begin guided trips.
Yeah, down here for sure. You know, they had offshore guides. They didn't have inshore guides back then. You know, that's 47 years ago, so it's a long time. But it's been such a rewarding life for me. And, you know, in the first 10 years, we didn't need a license. I guess I've re-upped
seven times now, so that's 35 years. So about 10 years, we didn't need them. And now they're pushing it on the freshwater as well. So,
yeah,
you know, just go ahead and do it right. But, you know, it's fun. It's, you know, and not only that, you know, we got 12 boats on the water. Somebody's going to get on the fish, and we work together. We don't leave anybody hanging. So, you know, everybody's going to catch fish, and that's so important. It's all about the customer. It's not about you. So, you know, just to do that and then have your customers lose their fish or something like that, you know, it's just not the way to do it.
Yeah, people don't realize that, you know, it's a hard job. It's not easy. It's a service job. You're dealing with personalities and inexperienced people, and it can be frustrating. It's long hours and under some tough conditions. But, you know, what you guys are really selling and providing is opportunity. I mean, how many people would never get to witness what goes on beyond those levees if it wasn't for you guys being able to take them out?
Yeah, it's an entertainment business. It's not a fishing or hunting business. It's strictly entertainment. You're there to entertain those people. And when the fish aren't biting, that's when you got to entertain the most. You know, I mean, it's easy to entertain when the fish are biting every cast. Yeah, you look like a hero. But when they're not biting, you better be on your A game. And don't lose it. Don't let them see you sweat. You know, it's you just got to keep that positive attitude. Let's hit another spot, man. They got to bite, you know. And just keep moving until you get on them. Or if some days fish don't bite, and don't matter what you do, some days it happens to everybody. Yeah, it does. And it's not fun when it does. You better have a good customer that has been with you a bunch of times on them days.
CajunFishingAdventures.com. Give them that telephone number where they can reach you, even out in the marsh.
504-559-5111. It's time to get them dogs in shape, get them running, because September's right around the corner.
That's a good advice. Get them labs ready, man. Just be careful for those gators.
Oh, without a doubt, they tick.
All right, buddy. We'll see you next week.
All right, partner.
All right, Captain Ryan Lambert. We call him the Plastic Man. All right, coming back after this, going to catch up on some of our text messages and also tell you about Christina Bordelon. She needs a little bit of help from fishermen to put together some trips for veterans. If you can help, I'll give you the way to do it right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got a little freshwater report in from my buddy Blaine Salter. He's talking about he's going to be at that Tuesday meeting at Wildlife and Fisheries on the Atchafalaya Basin fishing. He thinks that limits may be a topic coming up. What he's going to be there and believes in and will present a presentation on why the size limit of 10 inches should be put in statewide on the Sockelay. He said it's worked in Mississippi and Texas. Atchafalaya Basin rivers are on the rise. He says they probably had two or three consistent weeks of very good catches across most of South Louisiana. The areas are affected by the river. Took a turn, a lot of pressure, like off lakes like Verrett and some of the surrounding areas around the basin. He said those areas are going to be pounded as Lake Verrett is producing consistent 10 to 20 fish per trip for anglers with more experience. And he says Old River Morganza was just getting primed. The rise has made it cool off. 3 weeks has some big fish caught for the last 3 weeks. Not the numbers, but the quality has been there. He fished with Glenn Davis last week. They only had 7, but they could have fed 10 people. He said it was the only one he landed. He sent a really good picture of it. He said that Tuesday he's going to be at that Wildlife and Fishery. They're going to be concerned more with the limits not being the issue for the fishermen, but size more so than quantity. So that's Blaine Salter's report. We appreciate getting his freshwater reports in. All right, I also have a text message from Texter. It looks like it's 5217 is the last four. Now, you must be using Talk to Text because sometimes it just comes out where it just doesn't make any sense. Maybe you might want to resign that. All right, here's one says, good morning, Don. Remind the listeners, it's a good idea to ask for proof of licensing for any fishing or hunting guides. That's certainly a good idea. If you're going to be gone on a trip, make sure they can provide a license. Really, it's not insulting to ask for that. It's something that's very important. Here's one. Do the charter captains still get a discount on fuel at the marina? I don't know. I don't know if they ever did. And really, that's none of my business. If you're interested, I guess you could check with them and find out. Here's one. I asked about Louisiana elected officials who are really concerned outdoorsmen. Dr. Mike Strain, our Commissioner of Agriculture. Yep, I can agree with that. Mike is a big outdoorsman as well as a very knowledgeable veterinarian and also agriculture commissioner. All right, I did want to get this before we get off. Christina Bordelon sent this in, and I know this is kind of short notice, but they have a one-day bass tournament for part of the National Veterans Wheelchair Games. And this is going to be held at the Bayou Sonnet State Park on the 23rd, which is Tuesday. And they'll be partner pairing up on Monday at the Hilton Riverside Hotel. If you consider yourself a boat captain, you do not need to be a licensed captain to do this. I'm just looking for people to take out fish. It's not a paid event. And this is to help disabled veterans. There's no award prize money going to be given, but there will be trophies given to the chance of a veteran receiving that. And if you want to get in on this and take a veteran's fishing, call Christina Bordelon. And I have her number here. Let me get to it just a second. And like you said, she said you can call her if I can find it. And let's see, where is Christina? Oh, here we go. 225-223-1086. That's 225-223-1086. Or there's also some email and contacts on a flyer. If you want to get a copy of that flyer, let me know, and I can send you some information via the text. We can't take pictures and flyers and things like that. It just doesn't work on our text, but you can always email it to me, and we can give you the email address if you need it. Just shoot me a text. Our text number is 504-260-1870. Here's another text that says, I read about an article yesterday about the nuisance that sharks have become for fishermen, especially game fishermen. Yeah, they are definitely problematic offshore, and we're seeing more and more of it inshore. There's a lot of sharks out there, and he says, darn that Peter Benchley. And, of course, Peter Benchley, the author of the book Jaws. And, you know, what happened with Jaws was they actually created some sympathy for sharks when the data was revealed how long it takes for sharks to breed and reproduce. And so they put in some very, very tight regulations, which, I don't know, at these dates, the empirical evidence from people out there will tell you there are more sharks maybe than there's ever been out there. And they're predators just like we are. So they just have to be dealt with for now. But possibly they could relax some of the limits and open up some more commercial fishing for sharks. And certainly it's not a bad fish to eat. In fact, some of the schools serve shark to the kids when you process them. All right, that's about all we got for today. We're just about out of time. We're getting ready to sign off here. We'll be back again next week celebrating 35 years of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. We'll go back and tell you some of the things that were going on back in July of 1989, besides us kicking this show off called Outdoors with Don Dubuque. Thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Thanks to all our sponsors. Thanks to Cullen Steele back at the Mothership. And we'll see you again next week with another edition of the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.